Today's topic is about choosing between a donor advised fund and a family foundation. My name is Mark Hagan. I work for UBS Financial Services. I've been in the business for 28 years and have been with this firm since 1999. Currently, I run the charitable planning part of our practice at UBS. I have a chartered advisor and philanthropy designation, and I'm also certified as a financial planner on the team. We work closely with foundations and endowments on a consulting basis here at UBS with our team. And as an outside activity, I'm the founder of a nonprofit called Emily's Place. We're a faith-based ministry. We serve to survivors of domestic violence here in the Collin County area. Today, we're joined once again by Michael King and Joel Smyer with National Christian Foundation. Joel guides NCF North Texas as its founding president and general counsel. Prior to that, he was a partner in a Fort Worth law firm where he practiced law in various areas of civil litigation. He's a graduate of Baylor University and Baylor University School of Law, and he's married to Laura, and together they have six amazing children. Michael King is our charitable gifts and state tax attorney for NCF and has been with NCF since 2006. Prior to NCF, Michael spent 10 years with an international tax and accounting firm in a multifamily office. He's received his undergraduate degree in finance from Penn State and his law degree from UCLA School of Law. Michael and his wife, Tammy, have been high school sweethearts and have five amazing children. It's great to have both you guys back again to discuss this topic. Since 1982, NCF has come alongside generous families and individuals as well as their advisors, and they've been doing that to help them send more than $15 billion in recommended grants to over 70,000 different churches, Christian ministries, and other charities. And with regards to non-cash gifts, which we're discussing here today, these guys have completed $4.5 billion in non-cash gift assets, a total of over 2,700 complex gifts. These guys wrote the book on the space, in my opinion, and we're honored to have these guys here today to talk about how to consider the differences between a donor advised fund or a private foundation. As a reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place. We're not recommending securities to buy or sell or particular structures. UBS does not offer tax or legal advice, and this program is intended solely for educational use only. Please consult your tax attorney or CPA for questions regarding your specific circumstances. Just a couple of years ago, data suggested that there were a little over 100,000 private foundations across the country and 1.1 million donor advised funds. Basically, one private foundation for every 10 DAFs. Yet, being in this business, most families, when wanting to get serious about legacy-type gifting, also say something like this. My wife and I have been wanting to set up a foundation as we're wanting to give money to XYZ. And that statement's interesting to me because there are far fewer private foundations than donor advised funds, yet the very first question is always about establishing a foundation. My experience has lent me to believe that they either have friends who have one, they've read or have seen in the news of foundations giving to something, but oftentimes their statement of wanting to establish a foundation is really a question, should I or shouldn't I? So what is it? Well, a private foundation, it's a freestanding legal entity. Think of it like a business with its own tax ID. It's a vehicle that allows for tax deductions for assets contributed to it, and you can make contributions from it. A donor advised fund is a type of an account. It's usually held at a foundation, like National Christian Foundation. It also allows for tax deductions for assets contributed to it, and you can make contributions from it. So these sound really, really similar. Michael, let's start with you. How would you describe a private foundation in a little more detail that might help clear up a little bit of the confusion of these things sound the same?
Let me start off with a little bit of foundation, Mark. When we have families that are looking for a vehicle to manage and facilitate their charitable giving, there's generally three primary vehicles that they'll consider. Obviously, the private foundation that you mentioned and the donor advised fund are two of those vehicles. There's a third vehicle referred to as a supporting organization, which is beyond the scope of our conversation today, but maybe that's a topic for another podcast. And so one of the things that historically the private foundation has really been the vehicle of choice for wealthy families. And even today, I would say most families really aren't in a position where they have a level of wealth or charitable giving that they're doing, where the private foundation is very economical. And so historically and even today, this is generally a vehicle that some of your more wealthy families and more generous families would use. The private foundation, as you said, is a standalone legal entity, legal charitable organization. And one of the benefits of it is it provides the family with some of the greatest level of control over that organization. So it has a standalone board. The family can appoint all of those board members. So there's a lot of families that really value control, whether it's on the charitable side or their personal side. But because of that level of control that they have, the private foundation also has some of the most significant restrictions that apply, both in terms of the level of charitable deductions and the charitable deduction rules that apply. Typically, a donor advised fund and public charities have much more beneficial rules. And the private foundation also has a series of excise taxes that can be imposed on various transactions between a family and the private foundation. One of the other benefits of the private foundation is the fact that family members can actually be compensated for actual work that they do for the foundation. And that's really not a direct option with a donor advised fund and other charitable vehicles. So that's oftentimes a driving factor if that's an important thing to the family, to be able to compensate children, grandchildren, or any other family members.
Got it. That helps tremendously with the private foundation. Joel, how would you describe some of the donor advised fund characteristics to help clear up some of the confusion of these two vehicles initially seeming similar?
So the area of overlap where they are similar is, like a private foundation, a donor advised fund, which is really an account, like you talked about earlier, has the same general function of families being able to contribute assets, just like they would a private foundation, get a deduction. And in some cases of a complex asset, non-cash asset, they're going to get the benefit of giving a fair market value deduction as contrasted with just basis. So that part is similar. I'm going to contribute assets in. And then inside of a donor advised fund, there's a system in which after dollars are invested, however the family would want to instruct, like much like they would a private foundation, then there can be granting out. But what's different is that control feature. So think of it as the family is the advisor. They give advice. They're going to give advice to the donor advised fund provider as to how they want those, how their advice would be on how the fund's assets are invested. Often we have separately managed accounts, as you know, Mark, with wealth advisors like you. And so one of the big differences is that mom and dad are not the investment manager. They cannot direct the investment. Rather, they make advice. And we have a master investment policy then that allows them to, in effect, give advice. But they don't control it. The control is at the foundation, the public foundation. So what we do is we try to create all of the sort of levers that have the control-like feeling. So that is, I'm going to make an advice. I'm going to advise that I want X amount to go out to a particular charity. The donor advised fund provider, so long as it meets their grant making protocol, that needs to go. And there is very much a trust in the donor advised fund system to be able to make those go. A couple of things I'll say that are features of the donor advised fund that are not present in the private foundation. While on the one hand, there's not absolute control, it's just this indirect control that I've mentioned. There's a couple of features that are attractive to families, which is number one, that it's also very private. It's a private account, whereas a private foundation is very public, having to file 990s and disclose assets under management and where grants went. Inside of a public foundation, a donor advised fund, it's simply an account. And so the world is not going to see where a particular account holder, donor advised fund account holder, made grants to or suggested grants. that then allows for a key provision, I think, for families that choose donor advised funds, not only because of simplicity, it's so much easier to put together. It's just an account. There's not this thing of having to create an entity, but there is this ability also to give anonymously. And that just, as much as a family would like to do that with a private foundation, it's not possible. Whereas with a public foundation, a donor advised fund, it is possible. So those are the basic contrasting kind of points. Simplicity is why people go. That is one of the reasons why the donor advised fund is so attractive, is because it's simple. We achieve the same kinds of investment results and same types of grant making results. We're just not doing it in the formal fashion of an entity like a private foundation.
Yeah, that's perfect. I know that in our own practice here, some of the ways that we talk about these two vehicles is helping people understand what they are not or what they cannot do, and making the discussion from the negative. And so when we typically summarize these differences without getting too far into the weeds, if we're talking about a private foundation, we let people know it's not inexpensive from a hard dollar perspective to establish. I mean, it's roughly somewhere between $6,000 and $10,000 setup cost for getting the foundation established, with annual costs for tax filing, reportings, etc., not to mention the time that comes in from having a board, managing that board, and utilizing all that properly. It's also not a vehicle that you can decide each year if you want to give or not. It has a minimum of 5% gift from the balance of the fund that must be given each year, or there's a tremendously large penalty that comes with that. It does not get the same tax treatment for tax deductions for certain assets. If you give cash to your private foundation, you can deduct up to 30% of that against your AGI. Whereas if you give the same amount of cash to a donor advised fund, the deduction can be up to 60% of your AGI. And it's not, as Joel had mentioned, it's not a way that you can give privately or anonymously. Yes, it's true that you could change the name. It doesn't have to be your family name, but it is part of public records that can be looked up at anybody's discretion. There are sometimes taxes annually that could apply. Excise taxes of 1% to 2% on the value of the assets sometimes can be applicable there. And while everybody has different opinions about the dollar amount that it should be to establish one, we think it's not something for assets that are $3 million or less. The data suggests the average donor advised fund asset across the country is $182,000 a few years ago. Private foundation was closer to $1 million, and we all know that averages 50% of those accounts are higher than that. So we've worked backwards into saying we think that's a reasonable starting point to have a conversation from assets. Donor advised funds, what they're not. They are not expensive. You can't give to individuals in case of hardship cases. So if you like to help your friend out, help your neighbor out, help somebody else out, you're not able to do that through a donor advised fund. It is not an administrative burden to have a donor advised fund. That falls on the foundation where the account is held, and custody. It is also not required to give a minimum percentage every year from the balance, although data would suggest that on average 20 plus percent of gifts from donor advised funds relative to their asset amount is customary, whereas private foundations are 5% at a minimum. And this is not a vehicle that you could use to donate to your private foundation. Sometimes we see these two vehicles put in place together, and you can make a distribution to satisfy your 5% from a private foundation to your donor advised fund, and then it can go out to a charitable vehicle. By understanding what they can't do, we have found that also helps families understand really what they want. So, Michael, just in the context of some of those, can you pick one or two of those bullet points and just talk about, maybe elaborate a little bit on them?
Let me touch on one, Mark, that's particularly important. And that is, you talked about some of the differences between the deduction thresholds and the tax treatment of deductions. So one of the reasons private foundations are not used oftentimes to take in gifts of what we would refer to as complex assets, gifts of interest in private businesses or real estate, is because a private foundation provides a limited deduction benefit there, limited to the tax basis in those assets, basically what they were paid for. So if you have a successful business or a piece of real estate that has appreciated significantly, they are generally not appropriate assets to give to a private foundation because your deduction would be limited basically to your adjusted tax basis. And that can be a very significant issue because, as we've talked on the podcast before about the opportunities with complex assets, by capturing both a charitable deduction benefit as well as the avoidance or dramatic reduction of the capital gain tax, families can essentially capture a double tax benefit here. So for that reason, that's just really a critical issue. And one of the things that's interesting is when we run into families that already have private foundations, even if they're aware of those rules, a lot of times they'll think, well, I have these other complex asset gifts, but they're just not appropriate to give to my private foundation. And sometimes they'll stop there, not thinking that, well, hey, we could use a donor advised fund in conjunction with your private foundation, gift those complex assets to the donor advised fund, and now we have kind of two pockets of charitable dollars with which we can support the ministries that we love and care about.
Joel, how about as many conversations as you guys have with giving families, why don't you walk me through an example of how you guys kind of help them get to a good decision in this process?
The first thing we address, I guess, is what is the tool that they're currently leaning toward, one or the other? And then we frankly bring up what they haven't been considering so that we have in front of them all of the options. Michael mentioned at the beginning, there's basically three driving tools that can be used separately, two or more, three, in coordination with each other. And so before we get to a tool, it's really about backing up and saying, what are the family's objectives? What are we trying to do? And often that conversation is a multi-generational conversation where we're talking to mom and dad and they're thinking about how to include the kids. And so both tools, both a private foundation and a donor advised fund, separately or together, can include family. The big difference, Michael said earlier, was we're not going to be able to employ a family member with the donor advised fund. That's only permissible with the private foundation. And even there, it's got to be reasonable in light of public law on that. So there's the family discussion that goes along with it. And then there's not only the family discussion in terms of, are we grant makers wanting to grant together? There's also the discussion of, do we want to do more than just be grant makers? Does the daughter Julie want to start a ministry of her own or a nonprofit of her own that the private foundation, quite frankly, could incubate? Well, the more of our time and talent that we're wanting to utilize through the tool, a private foundation often makes more sense than just a donor advised fund. On the other hand, if we're actually, no, we're not about doing so much of our time and talent in the work of the nonprofit, more it's about our time and talent creates treasure that we grant, then that typically favors the simplicity of the donor advised fund. But it really starts with, what are the family's primary objectives beyond the basics? And from there, then we're able to tie up the different kinds of tools that help them achieve their long-term and short-term objectives rather than just choosing one tool over the other.
Well, as our listeners can tell, you guys are the experts in this area and you guys have done some very significant planning over many, many years. And I want to thank you guys both for spending some time with here today. I'm sure there are a lot of questions that some of our listeners have, particularly as they kind of walk through if they're considering a private foundation versus a donor advised fund. For those listening, if you'd like to have further conversation or you've got some general questions about your specific asset or assets, or would just like some more information regarding some of what we talked about here today, you can email me at mark.hagan@ubs.com or call me direct 469-440-0604. Also, please follow our series of podcasts in the Apple Podcast app or on Spotify. It's listed under the title Complex Philanthropy. We hope you have a great rest of the day and your week. As a reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place. We're not recommending securities to buy or sell or particular structures. UBS does not offer tax or legal advice. Well, as our listeners can tell, you guys are the experts in this area, and you guys have done some very significant planning over many, many years. And I'm sure there are a lot of questions that some of our listeners have, particularly as they kind of walk through if they're considering a private foundation versus a donor advised fund. For those listening, if you'd like to have further conversation or you've got some general questions about your specific asset or assets, or would just like some more information regarding some of what we talked about here today, you can email me at mark.hagan@ubs.com or call me direct 469-440-0604. Also, please follow our series of podcasts in the Apple Podcast app or on Spotify. It's listed under the title Complex Philanthropy. We hope you have a great rest of the day and your week. As a reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place. We're not recommending securities to buy or sell or particular structures. UBS does not offer tax or legal advice. This program is intended to be educational in nature. Please consult your tax attorney or CPA for questions regarding your specific circumstances.